Our scripture reading from the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And I was thinking during the past week for, almost a half a century, I cannot remember one single Pentecost Sunday that I did not read from Acts 2. That has become the foundational chapter in the Bible on which we base so much of our faith and our belief in the Holy Spirit. So let's read it again this morning, Acts 2, the first 11 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." Here ends our scripture reading. May this story of long ago be your and my experience also this very day. My friend, have you ever listened to the singing of a little bird? And have you noticed that a little singing bird is not providing you with any answers to the questions of life? It simply sings for one reason. It has a song deep inside itself, and therefore, on every occasion, it sings it out to the entire world with so much joy. We've heard these music instruments played this morning, but have you noticed? Right now, they are quiet, they are still, because you know what? A music instrument does not produce music by itself. It can only do so when it has the skill of a talented musician to produce the great sound and the great music that we hear. Have you ever had the opportunity to listen to a huge pipe organ played by a master organist in a great cathedral or church? Oh friend, if you have not, you should seek occasion whenever you get the opportunity overseas or wherever. Go into one of those huge cathedrals and just sit down and listen when the organ is playing. There are a few things in this world compared to such an experience. Connected to my own personal fondest memories of past opportunities to serve such a church in South Africa, the one thing that I will never forget is the sound of that huge pipe organ. And I hope that within a month from now, I will have the privilege to stand with some of our parishioners present here this morning as we all go to South Africa. And that day I'm going to walk you up to the highest point in the Voortrekker Monument in Pretoria And I promise you, I will point down to the huge dome of the church that I'm referring to, right in the center of that huge city. People would come early in those days to church, not to listen to me or anyone, but they just came early because they knew that the organist would be playing and they would have a chance to listen and to be filled with the beauty of the music. So many times our hearts and souls and minds also in this church are lifted to higher spheres, giving worship a special significance. If you also notice that the Bible refers to God's Spirit as a mighty wind. What happened? What really happened on that first day of Pentecost? It helps to think of the earliest followers of Jesus Christ in terms of such a magnificent pipe organ as I just described. We can say that before that very day, God spoke to them through the life and through the teachings of Jesus Christ. They then already understood that God wanted them to do mighty deeds and to speak about God's great deeds, not only to their own, but also to all nations and tribes everywhere across the world. We can say that those early followers of Jesus were like organ pipes. Oh yes, they were able to play to God's glory in messages of faith, hope and change. Yet, they were as silent as these instruments are right now. You see, it was immediately after the earthly life of Jesus, and fresh in their minds and in their memories were the horrific scenes and memory of the crucifixion. And at this time they were silent, they were hiding, they were cowering in fear because there was a manhunt in those days and they were seeking followers of Jesus, and some of them were afraid that they might have been arrested. Oh yes, they already knew then that Jesus was alive. They knew that with innermost certainty. But in fact, He was no longer with them in person. And this was so confusing. This was so terrifying. It seemed as if the message and the sacrifice of the Master were past tense. And they had nothing to say anymore. They had nothing to do anymore. Bible said that some of them returned to their fishing nets. It was good, but it was over. It was gone. But what happened? During that period, during the silence and relative safety of the nights, they began tracking each other down again. And as they got together, because they were scattered in those days, as they started getting together, they started meeting behind closed doors, and there they consoled one another, there they prayed, and they did so quietly because they were hushed, they were quiet, they were afraid. And they knew then that the early Christian movement was in great jeopardy. And not soon after that they knew that those who saw and knew Jesus in person would also be dead and gone. And then it happened. The disciples were together. They were still hiding behind closed doors. They were only whispering to one another about their faith and their hope and the promises of Jesus that they would not be left behind like orphans, but that He would be with them until the end of time. And this is where the biblical story comes in. The Bible says, suddenly there was a sound like a violent blast of wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages. Well, in light of the illustration that we used this morning, we could say that the master organist unexpectedly took over the control of the otherwise so useless organ pipe. Quiet fingers began touching the keys, and the wind began to flow, and the silent organ pipes were silent no more. The wind caused them to sing and to step out in the world, aware that Jesus lives and that they could live with Him. And that harmony reverberated around the world through the centuries, reaching us again this very morning. Their lives were touched, their lives were changed, and they would never be the same again. You see what happened? The useless organ pipes remembered the promises of Jesus and understood what He meant. And then the wind of God flowed through the pipes, and the mighty symphony of God began to play. And each one of them started to speak and added their own sound in words, in language, in enthusiasm. You see, it was not something that came over the disciples, because people around said, that sounds like a drunken party. Hear that? Wonder what happened. It's still morning. Can they still be drunk? And we read in the Bible about the comments. No, something did not come over them. Someone came into them. And they discovered that God, through Christ, now dwelt in their lives and in their hearts, and that He would never leave them alone, that they will be orphans no longer. You know, again in the language of our time, it's like the signs that we so often see outside businesses. They were now under new management. A new manager took over. There were great expectations as businesses hope to thrive when a new manager comes. They discovered, I am no longer alone. I am being spoken to. I am being addressed from the inside out. And even when I'm quiet, I can hear God whispering through God's Spirit in my heart and in my life. You're under my management now. I want you to go out. I want you to live. I want you to talk. I want you to speak. I want you to witness of the great things that happened to you, so that the blessing of God through the Holy Spirit can reach the ends of the world and become a permanent resident in your life. That made the difference. New management. My friends, being under new management is the same as the difference between pretending to be a Christian and being a Christian. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it wasn't like dynamite that exploded with a heavy bang. No, it was something like a dynamo. Dynamite makes a loud noise, kicks up a lot of dust, and it's over. But a dynamo is a continual source of power. It builds and builds and builds, and the power flows, and it never stops flowing. Oh, have you discovered the dynamo in your personal life? Is the dynamo of God's Spirit urging you on, trusting you, pleading with you, calling you, come on, follow me, I am with you till the end of time? This is the motivation, Christian motivation, that lasts and lasts and lasts. And it comes from discovering that we are under management. Management of someone greater than ourselves, instructing us, encouraging us, prodding us, exhorting us. The disciples changed because God's mighty wind now flowed in them and produced an orchestrated symphony that would reverberate through the centuries and across the world. The Spirit had come and now dwelt within them. The Bible says they were excited. They were forever changed. And now, it is more than 2,000 years later, God is still speaking. God's Spirit is still moving in our time. It still happens that people open their hearts and minds for the soft rustling of the wind of God. Is that what prompted us to ask for the first time here 4 years ago, Quo Vadis? Quo Vadis? Where are you heading, Master? Where are you leading us? We want to listen. We want to follow. Quo Vadis? Lead me, and I shall follow. In times of spiritual bankruptcy, we need to understand God's message and willingly place our lives again or for the first time under new management, under God's management. It still happens, friend. It can happen in your life and in mine. For the first time or repeatedly, it can happen today. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love the way you love and do what you would do. Amen. Thank you.
of my day? What is the measure of my day? What is the measure of my day? Am I the sower weeping in the field, tears soaking down their hardened hearts? Can I come alive and build a fire and lead the way? What is the measure of my faith? Surely everyone stands as a mere breath. The measure of my faith. Surely everyone stands as a mere breath. Surely everyone stands as a mere breath.